The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Since the dawn of television, fictional fathers have been beamed into our living rooms to give us guidance, teach us how to work hard, and deliver tough love. While there have been countless examples of well-meaning, heartwarming dads on TV, that ain't why we're here. We're here to talk about the daddies, the zaddies, the scorchingly hot parental units who turned us on whenever we turned in. So forget about their fictional contributions to the art of parenting and focus strictly on the superficial as the great pop culture debate seeks to answer who is the hottest TV dad of all time. I don't know anything about football, but I'll bend over for Coach Derek Taylor's snap. I'm your host, Eric Resniak. Please welcome this week's panel, who are just as thirsty as I am. He finds Detective Stabler's buns of steel arresting. It's Curtis Creekmore.
I am more than interested in going down under for his Oz.
Oh, nicely done. He even brought in a second show there where we got the full Christopher Maloney, by the way, if you haven't watched Oz. It's all out there. Paging Dr. McDreamy, she needs 50 cc's of good love and stat. It's the return of Heather McLean.
And maybe a little CPR, definitely mouth to mouth.
Oh, that girl, get it. And she only has eyes for Sandy Cohen's eyebrows. It's Kara Austin.
Meet me in the pool house, Dad.
Oh, God, I feel dirty.
Me too. I need a shower.
Just wait. You're going to need a lot of this episode. It is going to be unabashed dick pigging the whole time. So if you're not.
Filth.
Not for one to listen to with your children. So how does this work? Since this is a mini-sode, there was no public poll. Our panelists considered all the hot menses they'd seen on television and picked their individual top 12 daddies. We compared notes, moved forward the ones with multiple votes, and then pushed up a few of our personal favorites. We added those top 16 pops to a bracket. Now we argue about it and insult each other, all for your amusement. Want to play along at home? Go to greatpopculturedebate.com and find the polls and brackets tab. There you'll find the listener bracket for this and every episode. Make a copy for yourself. That part's super important. Fill it out and see if your picks line up with ours. So before we start, I want to ask my panelists, who are some of the hot TV daddies you suggested that you were upset did not make the bracket? Curtis, I'm going to start with you first.
I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say that I was upset about any of them, because when I was putting this list together, I had a couple different criteria. We talk about this a lot. We say, you know, since we're all different people, what are we bringing to the podcast? What are we looking for when we're filling out these brackets? And obviously hotness was a very important one to me. But the second one was, how good of a dad were they? Because I think that has a direct impact on how hot I thought they were, because I don't have and didn't have a fantastic relationship with my dad. And that probably caused some issues that I'm paying someone to talk about.
Yes.
But some of the people that I put on my list that did not make it, unfortunately, Armando Salazar from Love, Victor, is, I think, a very sexy man. I believe Love, Victor is actually coming to an end with this next season.
Yep.
Unfortunately, but I find him just very, he's like the hairy sexy, I guess. If I'm categorizing in my head and I go to that part of the Rolodex, it's like he probably has a decent amount of body hair and he is sexy. Okay. Next, spin it around. Bert Hummel from Glee. Mike O'Malley, I think, is he the hottest person on this list? I mean, sorry, Mike, you probably agree. No, like he's not in comparison to all of these, like, smoke shows is the word that I'll use. No, was he a fantastic dad? Absolutely. He was the dad that I wanted and needed as a gay kid. And then seeing that on screen was so life altering for me in a couple different ways. And I think it made it him hotter. So he definitely made my list. And then finally, I want all of you to look me in the eye and tell me that Michael Landon as Charles Ingalls from Little House on the Prairie was not a sexy man.
Oh, he totally was. Absolutely. He had that kind of swagger. It was like John Wayne, but not offensive. you know,
and no weird walk.
I don't remember, but yeah, he had a really, he just had a kind of masculine energy to him that yes. was kind of like default masculinity from the 70s and 80s, which is not a bad thing, but yeah, yep. no, I think he's very handsome.
But I don't remember it being like a threatening masculinity yes, either. Exactly. It was approachable and it was handy. Like, you know, it's a survival masculinity.
Yeah. And that's what thank you, because that's what I was trying to say. Like, John Wayne-ish, but without like the misogyny, the homophobia, the aggressive mm-hmm. elements. Mm-hmm. It's just like a gentle masculinity. Thank you, Kara.
That's exactly. Hey, Dad. You can be. You
yeah, you can be a man without being a shithead. I mean, it's possible, and we're going to get into that as we go through.
I feel like Heather and I are like, can you? Like,
can you? Are you sure? Have we seen it? I don't know.
Well, and hopefully we'll explore that in this episode. So, thank you for that, Curtis. Heather, what about you?
You know, I think my two that kind of come to mind are Nick Amaro from Law & Order SVU. And I get it, right? Like, Elliot Stabler is clearly the hot dad on SVU. Mm-hmm. And if I had to pick between the two, I will go Team Stabler all the way. But Danny Pignot he's beautiful. And he's really good dad to his daughter and, like, is always looking out for her. He talks about her at work. He's got a photo of her on his desk. I mean, he deserves a little shout out here, in my humble opinion. And then the other show that I think we kind of missed entirely is one of my, I'm going to call it shameful favorites, which is Nashville. Mm. And Nashville features Deacon Claiborne, played by Charles Esten. And this man is a Southern girl's dreamboat. I mean, he's got the drawl, he plays the guitar, he can sing. He's got some substance abuse issues.
Who doesn't?
But, you know, I also like that we talk about that openly, and he's sure. working on them. And yeah, I think, you know, he deserves a little bit of a shout out as well.
That's great. Kara, what about you?
I feel like Curtis and I approach this very similarly as far as like, yes, there's like the conventional attractiveness, hotness, but there's also being a good dad. But two of them that I originally suggested for this, I did not hold that into account, and you'll soon find out why. It was purely surface level. One of them being Jamie Lannister.
Yeah. Oh, come on, he's yes. a great dad.
He's not a great guy, though. Like, I mean, he's trying to protect his kids, I guess.
But no, he's also a terrible father. I was just being sarcastic.
It's all messed up, but just he's nice to look at.
Sure.
I've been very forgiving of the fact, he, you know, was it episode one, he pushes a child out of the window, and I was like, sure, well, does. Let's give him some time to redeem
it
himself.
It happens.
The things we do for love.
Who among us, really?
Exactly.
And then the other one, it was not really a great dad and kind of an unconventional stretch of a pick, was Nandor the Relentless from What We Do in the Shadows.
Yes.
Because technically he has children, because he visits one of his great-great-great-great-grandchildren in an episode, and I want to fucking climb him like a redwood tree.
Yes, yes, yes. He is so hot in it, and I don't even know why. And I was actually really pleased in the most recent season, he goes to the gym and he's working out shirtless, and he has full dad bod. He is not like ripped full, like the
and
rock.
That hair?
Yes.
Oh, the 80s hair.
And I was like, that makes him even sexier, that he's like not completely unattainable. He's got a great voice. Mm-hmm. There's something about him that says kind of oafish. Like, I absolutely second that opinion. I love Nandor. And I think he's a smoke show in his own unique way.
Eric, have I ever told you about my vampire fantasies?
No, this is, I've not heard anything
well,
about
Well, I just
this.
Told you oh, mine, boy. So go ahead, Curtis.
As a child, I would literally fantasize about a vampire coming through my window and being very affectionate with me. So I just looked this up. I've never seen this show. I just, as we're sitting here, Googled it. And I'm like, okay, at least three of the four people on this podcast have a thing for villains, I'm guessing. If not four of four. Heather?
Yeah. Wait, have you not seen What We Do in the Shadows?
No, I have
not. Oh, you should, honey. And honestly,
no, like, he's not really a villain. He's just a big idiot with sharp teeth.
That's enough. That's good.
And honestly, I will say to both of you, do watch it. It's a really quick burn through because it's like 30 minutes episodes. Seasons one and two have, I think, 8 episodes apiece. And frankly, Curtis, just to you, I think your husband would really like it. It's such a charming show. And it starts out okay, but it really gets great by the time you're at season 3. Season 3 was amazing. Highly recommended. but you are correct in that I have a thing for villain. When you were like, I took into account if they were good dads, I was like, I specifically weigh it towards bad dads because that's what I'm looking for now as an adult. Like, is this talking about my trauma in a very public way? Sure, but like, treat me terribly, daddy. That's what I want. So you'll see as my picks go on, if they were wholesome, I'm not interested. I only want you to spit in my face and slap me around. So just wow. Have that. Speaking on that, mine that didn't make the list was Hiram Lodge from Riverdale, Veronica's dad, who's really terrible. Like, he's a horrible man, but he's super hot because he's played by Mark Consuelos, who is Kelly Ripa's husband. I hate that that's how he's known, but he's like a total smoke show. We'll be hearing that term a lot during this episode. And I didn't think he deserved to make the list, but I did want to give him some love. And then also kind of on that tip, I am in ride or die dynasty fan. I'm not going to give it to John Forsythe, who was a little granddaddy for me to be lusting after, but I will give it to Grant Shoe, who plays Blake Carrington on the CW reboot. He is a total shit of a human being. He is a terrible father, but he was hot AF on Melrose Place when he was a prime in stud, and now he has aged nicely into a dry-aged fillet, and I'm not at all mad about it. He's delicious either way. So with that being said, let's go into these debates so we can further debase ourselves for your pleasure. The majority of the panel wants to keep dealing in Uncle Jesse from Full House, played by John Stamos, but I feel the rapture of Kevin Garvey from The Leftovers, played by Justin Theroux. Heather, why should I cut it out and come back to Uncle Jesse? I will explain why Kevin Garvey should be savored now and not saved for later. I'm going to have Heather go first.
Uncle Jesse, for me, was my first ever TV crush. I think it's actually possible that he was the guy who made me go, maybe boys aren't so icky. Certainly the ones in elementary school still were, but he was like the... ooh, wait a second. I'm feeling something. And that hair, that gorgeous, luscious 80s, early 90s, like, oh, ooh, ooh. But I think the thing about Uncle Jesse is he's like the reformed bad boy. Mm-hmm. He is a stand-up uncle. I mean, I think of the first Full House episode, right, where he and Joey are trying to figure out how to change a diaper.
Yes.
And they're literally hosing off the Olsen twins in the sink.
Yes.
You know, and it's like, what man does this? Like, and there's so many examples throughout the show of him being like not only a good dad to the twins once he and Becky have the twins, but really being like another parental figure for DJ, Stephanie, and Michelle as well. Like, he always puts family first. You know, he goes on tour. There's a couple moments where he's like, maybe I'm going to do something and go back to my wild ways. And he always comes back to family. He's probably the one of all of my selections who is the best dad. Because I'm kind of with you, Eric. I went solely for looks. And really, the worse of a parent you are, the more I'm into you.
Yep. Yep.
Uncle Jesse is my caveat to that.
And here's the thing, and I'm going to talk about Kevin Garvey, but I'm acknowledging right up front, I actually don't think he should advance because everything Heather just said, great argument. And Uncle Jesse was the only one that all four of us put on this list independently. We didn't check with one another. We all four put Uncle Jesse on, and that's the only person on this list that could be said for. But I do want to talk about Kevin Garvey. I don't think The Leftovers was super well watched. It started out really off. That show was a wild opening and very inconsistent, but it lasted for 3 seasons on HBO, and by the time you got to the end of season one, it was really good, and then it just got better and better. Justin Theroux's Kevin Garvey is kind of the lead character, and he's not actually a good dad. He's a terrible husband. One of his defining characteristics on the show is that, so the concept is what happens after the rapture. We'll say that that's what it is, where half of the population that's literally of Earth just spontaneously disappears, just gone. And what happened to him is he was in the middle of having an affair during the rapture, and his mistress went poof before he went sploosh. And so this obviously defines him, because not only is he super guilty about the fact that he was cheating on his wife and children, I think actually they only had one daughter, but also – the girl he was messing around with got raptured. So it's kind of a mind fuck for him. But he grows considerably over the short series and actually ends up as a pretty awesome guy. He also may or may not be a messiah figure. So that's pretty hot. But speaking of hot, Justin Theroux is ripped. Curtis on this podcast has put together a slideshow of visual aids, and we will be posting it along with this episode on greatpopculturedebate.com. And I would urge everyone on the panel to just refer to slide numbers 1 and 2, in which you will find the frequently shirtless Kevin Garvey, aka Justin Theroux. He was very often naked on this series, and I'm so pleased. But arguably his best photo came on slide 2, and I'm so glad Curtis included this, because this was the best possible marketing for this show. This is a scene from the first season where Kevin's jogging in gray sweatpants and is not wearing any support, and it is there, ladies and gentlemen. And he was apparently, Justin Theroux, like, mortified over this. He did not realize what was happening. But it made a lot of people take notice. And I'm grateful. So that's my argument here. And I'm going to put it to the ladies. Heather, are you sticking with Uncle Jesse?
Uncle Jesse all the way. Even though, yes, I agree with you. Ooh, Justin Theroux is ripped. But Uncle Jesse for actually being a stand-up guy and wicked hot.
Respect. Kara?
Yeah, I'm not changing for Uncle Jesse for all the reasons listed above.
And Curtis?
I am apparently one of the ladies. I did not realize. the one thing that I will say to our viewers, because or listeners, viewers, whatever you're enjoying this wonderful podcast on, with a mini-sode, our seeds are randomized. And what I think I personally experienced as I was filling out my own bracket, it's so unfair. It's so unfair that Kevin Garvey got put up. Well, really anybody that went up against Uncle Jesse was going to have a hard time. But like, I really feel like if Kevin Garvey had been put up against just about anybody else in this bracket, I absolutely would have stumped for him. Like, everything that Eric said was correct. He is a beautiful man. He is ripped. I am a sucker for gray sweatpants and running together. But I agree with everything that Heather said, so Uncle Jesse moves on.
All right, so we're going to advance Uncle Jesse. Next, we were evenly split between the mild-mannered Michael Bluth from Arrested Development, played by Jason Bateman, and the Man of Steel's Kal-El / Clark Kent from Superman and Lois, played by Tyler Hoechlin. Curtis, why would eliminating Michael Bluth be a huge mistake? Kara, explain why we should believe in truth, justice, and Superman's bangin' booty. I'm going to have Kara go first.
I'm sorry, I'm terribly distracted by the GIF that Curtis put into the slideshow. please go to the website and check this out. Oh my goodness. Okay, I need to hide that. I'm sorry. So I think that Clark Kent is the hottest. Oh, Jesus, I really need to not think about that anymore. All right. I think Clark is hot, especially compared to Michael Bluth, because he's just ribald. He is so built, and he has such an Eric, I don't know if we can add this to the slideshow later, posted pictures of Superman from behind. He's got like this adorable little bubble butt in the blue spandex, and I'm here for it. And on top of that, what I like, I'm a little bit behind in the show. I started watching when it first premiered. One thing I like is I like a lifelong Superman fan. As I got older, I really like when we explore who Clark Kent is as a person, and not just who he is as a hero, you know, who Superman is, because Superman's really boring.
Yeah.
And I think that's why DC struggles to bring Superman to life on the big screen.
Yep.
Is because when he's this godlike figure, there's no entry point for you to care about him. But what this show does really well is that, like, yeah, he's Superman, that's great, but now he's trying to come to terms, like, how do I be a good dad, especially when he had an incredible Earth, you know, like his real dad is, again, that godlike figure, which they, you know, struggle with anyways in that show. But Jonathan Kent was an incredible dad to him, and he's trying to figure out, how do I live up to my dad, my human dad, is in and be that role for my kids. So he's very vulnerable, and he's got the nerd glasses, so it's that nerd stud type, you know, dichotomy that I'm just here for. And again, just, oh, it's this GIF where he's riddled with bullet holes. I mean, not like dripping. He's got bruises, impact points. And it's, oh, that chest
It's nice.
And I'm sorry, Michael Booth is a I mean, he's not a great dad either. He tries, but if we're going on, if point one is the shallow, like just aesthetic committee review of these two, it's Clark Kent, hands down, all the way.
Curtis, your rebuttal.
I am not delusional. On a physical attractiveness scale, obviously, you know, everything that she said is true. It's not a contest. The man who plays Clark Kent here, I don't know his name, but that is a perfect cast right there. He has the chiseled jaw. He's got the piercing eyes. He's got the spit curl black hair. Like, he is a perfect human being. But is he a good dad? I don't know. I haven't watched Superman and Lois, so I don't actually know how he interacts with this child. But what I do know is Michael Bluth is made hotter by his devotion to his son. He knows his family is majorly fucked up, but that does not stop him from trying to maintain a relationship with them almost wholly for the benefit of his son, or at least that's the way that I've interpreted it. I think Jason Bateman is a handsome dude. I think he's an attractive man. While he's not a smoke show like some of the other people on this list, the fact that he's a little bit more attainable actually makes him even more desirable in my eyes. And I am sure that Egg is a very nice person, but my vote is going to go to Michael Bluth.
Heather, where are you on this one?
I was also Michael Bluth, again, for all the reasons Curtis just said, and because I just love Jason Bateman.
Yeah.
But I have to tell you, again, back to this wonderful slideshow. I am so distracted by this vein on that same, the photo bicep. We were just talking about bicep. With the holes. I'm like, yeah, I want to know where that goes, and I want to know right now. So I'm sorry, Curtis. I'm jumping ship, and I'm going Team Clark Kent.
And I'm definitely Team Clark Kent on this. And that's nothing against Michael Bluth. I do agree with so many of the points that you made, Curtis. This is, again, the luck of the draw, right? Where, like, if he was up against someone else, I probably would go with it. But, like, Clark Kent is brutally hot. And I actually, when the casting for Tyler Hoechlin was announced, because he came in on Supergirl, not actually originally on his own show, I was like, he's not. Like, he's a hot guy, but he's not Superman. He doesn't look anything like Superman. And I was wrong, because he actually looks great. And he fills
out. And he looks great as both, like, as Clark Kent and as Superman.
I also think it's interesting, like, Tyler Hoechlin became famous as a teen on Teen Wolf, which was not even 20 years ago. And now he's playing a daddy.
A dad to two teenage sons.
Yeah, like, it's super interesting to me, like, the very rapid aging, which is so soap opera, which is essentially what the CW shows are. So, yeah, I think we're going to advance Clark Kent there. Another even split, this time between Dr. Sam Bennett from Private Practice, played by Taye Diggs, and Jack Pearson from This Is Us, played by Milo Ventimiglia. Curtis, why would it be tragic to prematurely dump Jack Pearson from the bracket? Heather, make the rounds and convince us that Dr. Bennett has the prescription to quench our thirst. I'm going to have Heather go first.
So, full disclosure, I have had a crush on Taye Diggs since long before Private Practice became a show. I think arguably first, I don't even know when it started. I do recall that he was in 17 magazine, and I cut out the photo and it lived on the back door of my closet for a long time. So, yeah, Taye Diggs and I, we've spent some time together, but Dr. Sam Bennett is a great dad to his daughter, Maya. He actually still works with his ex-wife in the show so that there's no disruption to her family structure and so that there's no disruption to, like, either of their ability to provide for their family. I mean, how many people could continue to work with their ex? That said, Sam Bennett does also have a moment in this show where he basically tells the woman who's in love with him and he's in love with her that he will not have a child with her. Does that make you a better dad to say no? Or does that make you, you know, I don't know the answer to that. I certainly will never find myself in that situation. But it's, you know, I just love Taye Diggs. I love Sam Bennett as a character, as a father. He's smoking hot. This one was hard for me, though, because I do also love Jack Pearson in This Is Us. I think you can make the case for either, but my kind of longstanding love for Taye Diggs is what won this one out for me.
Yeah, I mean, Taye Diggs has been hot since Rent. And Rent was 99? Yes. Am I right?
Or is it earlier? I thought you were going to say 90 years ago. It's earlier than 99. It has to be. Is it?
It's been 82 years.
Seriously. Like, he's been hot literally for now 4 decades. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, Taye Diggs.
And he looks just about the same. God damn it.
Curtis, you know I'm not going to say what I was going to say, but Curtis, go ahead and take it.
No,
1994, by the way.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, wow.
That was before I started.
Because he originated the role, right?
Yes, he was the original. Yeah, 1994. Benny, yeah.
What I will say is...
He was 23 in 94.
So he's now, what, 60-something?
No, 50.
I'm bad at math.
What?
Yeah, he's 51.
Why don't we talk about his genes? I mean, we all know Paul Rudd's got those good genes, too, but holy shit, Taye Diggs.
Racism. That's why we don't talk about it.
That is the reason why.
Curtis.
That is absolutely accurate, but I want to let it start on this podcast.
That's right. Let's be the change we want to see in the world. Curtis?
Quick mini story. Speaking of dads and posters, so Heather may have had a picture of Taye Diggs on the back of her door. I had a picture of Pam Anderson on my door because my dad put it there. Thanks, Dad.
Nice try, Dad.
Anyway, I will be saying this a lot for the duration of this podcast, but possibly for different reasons. This is so hard. Taye Diggs is a beautiful man with a beautiful chest. Please look at the slideshow. And I do think that my first introduction to him was Rent, but it very well may have been the little bit that he played in Will and Grace. Like I think I might have watched Rent after I saw him in Will and Grace. That's my fucked up adulthood. However, I have had a crush on Milo Ventimiglia since he was in Heroes. And he has not stopped getting hotter.
True.
I personally am not a fan of This Is Us. We don't watch it. It's just a little too like saccharine for me, and everything's just like a little bit too contrived. But I would absolutely watch it on mute if they were to write Milo's character into scenes with reasons to be naked, which if you look at this slideshow, they apparently already have. Keep that shit up. Also, I apologize now to my work's IT person for ignorantly starting this research on my work laptop. Sorry, Paul. I promise I am not using my work time searching things like Milo Ventimiglia shirtless.
He promises, so you know it's serious. Kara, where are you on this one?
I am feeling a little bit torn because they are both very attractive men, and I've never watched This Is Us, and I never watched Heroes, but whenever he was like came up in the media someplace, I'm like, oh, it's the hot guy from Heroes. Like, and the thing I don't like, and this may sway my vote, I hate that mustache. That does nothing for me.
Me too.
Here's the thing, the mustache, beard, the full face, I'm into it. Yes. But just the mustache. No, that he's a character on Law and Order who's being brought in for questioning. Like that's what that mustache is for me. So since I'm so close, I'm going to let that be the deciding factor because there's no questionable facial hair on Taye Diggs's slideshow. And the fact that we just discovered, I mean, other people probably know, but he's in his 50s. Damn. God damn. You got my vote, Taye Diggs.
It's interesting. Both you and Heather were like, no to the mustache. And both Curtis and I were like, oh my God, no, yes to the mustache. Am I right, Curtis?
Oh, absolutely. In the 2020s, the mustache has made a comeback.
Yes.
I think especially in porn, maybe.
Yeah. And I think that's why it speaks to me, because anyone who's rocking just a mustache, you know they're a pervert. And so to me, that's points. I'm sorry.
So it goes
attractiveness, like hotness factor. Yeah. Are they a good dad or not? Uh-huh. And then pervert level, like the pervert quotient. I don't know.
It helps. Like I'm not, that's not like a deciding factor for me, but it gets included into the arithmetic. But that being said, like the mustache is not enough for me to overcome the hotness that is Taye Diggs. Like 3 decades of hotness You can't argue with that. And I mean, Milo's been around since Gilmore Girls. Like, he started out as a twink on Gilmore Girls.
Yeah.
So he's had quite a great career as well. And Curtis is correct. He keeps getting hotter. But, like, if you stay ready, you ain't got to get ready. Taye Diggs has been ready, and he's been giving it to us since 1994. So I believe that's 3 for Taye, correct?
Yes.
All right, so we'll be concluding Dr. Sam Bennett in the next round. Next, most of the panel wanted to complete a pass on Coach Eric Taylor from Friday Night Lights, played by Kyle Chandler, but Kara was feeling the dad vibes of Danny Tanner from Full House, played by the recently deceased Bob Saget. Curtis, why should we allow Coach Taylor to enter our end zones? Kara, explain why we should vote for Danny Tanner in this very special episode of the podcast. And I'm going to have Kara go first.
So I'm going to take this time for my argument to really just take a moment to remember Bob Saget, because when I look, especially when I look at the slideshow, I was like, I've got nothing when it comes to judicial hotness. So Bob Saget was an incredible comedian, a wonderful person by anybody who knew him. Like, when they talk about these, yes, devastatingly funny, but apparently just a complete stand-up dude who always told people that he loved them. So take that message with you with my argument time. Tell the people you love that you love them. Be a good dad. We love you, Bob Saget. RIP.
Yeah, and I think it is important. So when I say recently deceased, I think Bob Saget died, what, like a month and a half ago as we're recording this? Something like that. And, you know, at first it wasn't clear what happened. And then when they released what actually did happen, it was so tragic. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing that happened to Natasha Richardson, where they hit their head in a certain way. And we're like, oh, I hit my head. And then they went to sleep and they never woke up. And it's a horrible thing to keep. And it keeps happening. And if there's any good thing to come out of this tragedy, I hope it is that more people are like, if you bonk your head, do not go to sleep until you talk to a doctor, please. Because, like, what a loss. As Kara pointed out, not only was he a legendary comic, but every story you read was like, what a total mensch he was. Like, he was just a really good dude. And on the topic of hot TV dads, like, Bob Saget was a good looking guy.
Completely.
He was a handsome dude. Like, you could see he shows to pick you up on a date, and he's wearing a blazer and like a Miami Vice t-shirt underneath. Like, go Bob Saget, right? He just happens to be up against Coach Eric Taylor, I think. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Curtis.
Oh, y'all wanted a twist? I'm switching my vote, Eric.
What?
Honestly, I had planned to vote for Danny on this one from the start. Or I guess Bob Saget on this one from the start. But then I got too scared and I thought that I would be the only one. So I ended up switching my vote before I submitted everything. I am Team Danny Tanner all the way. The other man, what's his name? Eric Taylor.
Yeah.
He, every time I see a picture of him, he looks like Walter, that terrible old man puppet. He is always with the angry squint, and I can't handle it. Danny,
I love this heel turn. This is amazing.
Danny is wholesome and loving and is nerd hot, which is a real thing. Look it up.
Oh, for sure. Nerd hot is a thing.
Is he Uncle Jesse? No. But he's another dad that is made hotter by his dadness. So I'm switching my vote.
He's like a fuckable Ned Flanders.
I would say Ned Flanders is.
Well, yeah, I mean, that became a joke on its own, like when he's in the ski suit and whatever. But, you know. But Ned Flanders, if you're gonna fuck him, you're getting him out of the house the next day before he starts, like, quoting church or Bible verses to you or something. You don't want to hang out with him. You don't want to go on a date with him.
Yeah.
No. You just want to be like, shh, don't talk.
Exactly. Oh, no, I've cut my foot and my shoe is filling with blood. I have to go. Heather, are you sticking with Coach Taylor here?
I am Team Taylor all the way. I have been since, like, I first started watching Friday Night Lights. I mean, I love him in Bloodline, but, you know, in Friday Night Lights, he's like, I mean, yes, he's Coach Taylor, but he's also Julie's dad. And he's a good dad. Mm-hmm. And when his wife gets surprised pregnant, he, like, makes it work and, like, totally bends over backwards for the new baby and rolls with every punch. And I think that is what makes a good dad.
Yeah, like, I appreciate how much you guys are speaking up for Danny Tanner here and Bob Saget. I think it's really beautiful, and I'm glad that you did it. I'm not changing my vote on this one. I like, Curtis, it's fascinating to me that you find Kyle Chandler to be unattractive because I have thought he was a total babe since Early Edition, which was a short-lived drama on CBS, which was his like first big debut. I think he's got beautiful eyes. I think he's got a classic kind of I can't use that line because I'm using it later for Don Draper, but like he's got a very like classic American just like middle-class white dude thing going, and it totally works for me.
I'm looking at these pictures in the slideshow, and in the one of him, I don't watch the show, so him with the woman sitting next to him, it's like if men were fonts, Joseph Gordon-Levitt is like an italic, and this guy, same font family but bold.
I see that. I see it though.
It's the face.
I do want to point out that Curtis was specifically picking unattractive photos of Kyle Chandler here.
No, ma'am.
More handsome.
I don't think he's unattractive.
Wicked attractive.
Yeah.
No. I guess we'll just have to agree to disagree
We will. But here's the thing. It's a minisode, and there's no seeds. So tiebreakers are round robin. I get the first one. I'm putting Kyle Chandler forward.
That's so convenient. The person running the podcast gets the first one.
The first one, but then it goes next to Curtis. So it
also should have been alphabetical with Curtis first, but...
You can petition the head of the podcast for a change. We are advancing Kyle Chandler, but now Curtis has the power. And so if he decides, he can screw me over later, and I'm sure he will. Three quarters of the panel wanted to advance Randall Pearson from This Is Us, played by Sterling K. Brown. But Heather was feeling more than fine about Maxwell Sheffield from The Nanny, played by Charles O'Shaughnessy. Curtis, why should Randall from This Is Us keep us together? Heather, tell us what about Maxwell has you saying, oh, Mr. Sheffield. And I'm going to have Heather go first. That was not a good Fran find, by the way.
You have to plug your nose while you do it. I think that's really what you're missing. I think you have the Queens is, you know, it's getting better the longer you live there.
Yep, it's osmosis.
Osmosis.
Yeah. But I'm missing the nasal, which is, you know, it's funny because coming from upstate New York, it's all about that. But Heather, go on.
So look, I can already tell you I'm going to switch my vote here because, I mean, Sterling K. Brown is a sexy, sexy, sexy man. But Maxwell Sheffield to me is like, he's a little bit of the lost art of TV dad, right? He's, you know, he has these three kids. He's a widower. He's a straight man who produces Broadway musicals. But he's also like very attentive to his children. He survives the teenage years. He hires a nanny who has zero qualifications. And I mean, look, as a girl who was an aspiring musician, we are all looking for a Maxwell Sheffield to help us along the way. Mm. I mean, the British accent, the pleated pants I can do without, but this is another one where the hair also helps him.
Sure.
And, you know, I just felt like we didn't have quite enough representation within this bracket of shows that happened in the 90s. And I think that's another reason why I felt so strongly that, you know, Charles Shaughnessy should be included in this. But that said, I am happy to swap my vote to Team Randall Pearson.
I'm glad you brought him into this because I do think like he's a bit of a fop, right? We don't have any other fathers on this list that are anywhere like this. He does have that British charm. And he is like, you're right. He's like that sitcom dad from the 80s and 90s who for some reason, you know, they didn't have their wife and had to find a way to make it work. And he's filling that role in a way. It's kind of not Brady Bunchers, I guess, but you know what I'm saying. Courtship of Ellie's father, whatever. So I'm planning to vote for Randall. Kara and Curtis, are you also voting for Randall?
Yes.
Yep, but I am not going to move him forward past this. Should I blow my load now, Eric? Ugh,
that's a very weighted phrasing of this topic. Why don't you go ahead and
speak? I just think it's nice that he asked.
Exactly. I appreciate that.
More people should ask.
More people should ask. Exactly. Communication. Go ahead. Let's talk about it. We're going to advance him, but go ahead and tell us why.
Okay. So I love The Nanny. It was one of my favorite shows. It followed The Golden Girls on Lifetime sometimes, so that's how I like got introduced to it. And I enjoyed Maxwell as a character. I don't think I ever looked at him and thought, damn, daddy. Like, that was never in my mind like I have about Randall Pearson. And again, I am not a This Is Us fan, yet somehow I ended up being the one that was defending him the first time around, at least. Sweet Jiminy Christmas, please, people, go look at this slideshow. Honestly, just type that name into Google. You will find so many beautiful pictures of Sterling K. Brown. He is one of the biggest smoke shows, since we're going to keep using that in this entire podcast. I have a thing for men with deep voices. I have a thing for men with muscles. And boy, does he check all of those boxes. He is an absolutely beautiful man.
No question. And I think it's correct for him to advance. But I, Heather, I'm glad both of these people were nominated. I thought they were both really good picks. So we will be advancing Randall Pearson. Next up, the majority of the panel wants to book Detective Elliot Stabler from Law & Order SVU, played by Christopher Maloney. But I will throw myself out of a Madison Avenue office building unless we advance Don Draper from Mad Men, played by John Hamm. Kara, build a case to support Detective Stabler. I will pitch on behalf of Don Draper. Kara, you go first.
Elliot Stabler is an absolute unit. I rest my case. No, Elliot, I still don't understand why I find him so attractive. Because if you just described Elliot Stabler or Chris Maloney just without a picture, you'd be balding white guy, blah blah blah. And I was like, that's not for me. But then you see him, and I know we're talking about him in this role, but it's any role, everything in the room stops. He has a really a commanding presence, and I think that benefits him as a cop. And I also want to say, I still find him attractive aside from the fact that he's a cop, because that's totally not my jam.
Yeah.
But in the show, he's, you want him on your side. You want him on your side as a victim. And he's not a great dad. He's trying really hard, but he's also dealing with the demons of his, the type of work he has to do and the, scum of humanity that he sees. But he and that dude looks for any opportunity to fucking take his shirt off. And God bless this country.
Does it make you proud to be an American?
It does make me proud to be an American. He's just anything he's in. So now I'm blending between actor and role. He's just, he's just so freaking hot. I didn't open the slideshow because it wasn't going to help me at this point. But he's this non-traditional hotness, and I think it's just his presence, his voice. He has a really nice voice. He's going to be on your side. He's going to come for you, but maybe he throws you around a little bit, and maybe you're into that. And if you're into that, that's a good thing, and you're going to have a good time.
I hope he comes for me.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. We'll send him my forwarding
Amazing.
Address. Exactly. You do not have to sell me on the hotness of Christopher Maloney. What's that meme from Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe? Don't talk to me about the old ways, witch. I was there when they were created. I have been on the Maloney train since Oz, which is early to mid-90s. Mm-hmm. And you're right. He's an unconventional hotness, but it is potent, and I think a lot of it is his presence, right? He just has he's swagger, but not in a way that's aggressive.
No, it's not threatening at all. Yeah. It's he just kind of demands attention, demands your attention.
Yeah, he knows he's hot, and he's also, by the way, I know we're mixing roles and actor, but on social media, a delight, and completely leaning into the fact that in his 50s, he is looked at as a zaddy. He's like, I have no idea what that is, but if you like it, I'm going to stand out here and wear spandex and do splits for you. Christopher Maloney, ladies and gentlemen. That's
when you take a role on Pose.
Yes.
I mean, he had to know what he was doing, especially he has garnered the entire LGBT+ community with that.
When you share the screen with a canned vegetable as your acting partner, come on.
Who are we talking about there?
Christopher Maloney.
Who is he, the canned vegetable?
In Hot Wet American Summer, he's the chef.
Oh my god!
Oh my god!
I thought you were
about that.
Reading someone.
Yes.
Oh no!
Oh my god!
Yeah, no, you're completely right. I'd forgotten about that.
It's one of my favorite roles because it's just so ridiculous.
It's completely ridiculous, and he's great in it. But I'm here to talk about Don Draper, Mad Men, and John Hamm. So Don Draper is arguably the only quote bad guy on this list. He is a con man. He is a constant philanderer. He's a shitty dad. He is an absolute wreck hiding behind a good job and a starched collar. And frankly, what is more American than that? He's also fine as hell. Like, can anybody on this podcast truly question why women would constantly throw themselves at Don Draper if he walked in the room? Like, anyone?
Nope.
No.
Like, he's the tall, dark, and brooding. I don't even think he's that tall. But, like, he's just got a charm to him, even though he's a total dick. And he's such a deeply broken human that even as you're, like, repulsed by him, you also want to fix him. And, like, that's why he worked in this role, right? And that's John Hamm. Like, he walked into that role with very little background, right? He was a character actor. He had never had a regular role. And he really emerged as a leading man in this. And part of that was he just brought a lot of honesty to that and a lot of vulnerability. But also, John Hamm is just dreamy. He looks like the Arrow shirt model. He's got this old Hollywood vibe to him that is very rare in modern actors. And although it never made a guest appearance on Mad Men itself, I would urge you to Google Hamaconda. That's not in the slideshow that Curtis put together for this episode.
Nope. You would have gotten fired for that there. One.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And it's glorious. And so for me, that's why I'm putting it out there. But I am not mad about putting Stabler forward. I'm not mad about Christopher Maloney. I feel like they're kind of in the same vein, the two of them, except Christopher Maloney is the good witch and Don Draper is the bad witch. So Heather, where are you?
Oh, definitely Team Stabler.
All right. Curtis?
This is another one where I feel like this could have been a top two had things shaken out differently. Like, John Hamm is a stunning man. I love him in literally everything that he's done. I think he's very self-aware of what he brings to the camera. And like, what is it? Bridesmaids, where he plays like the terrible lover for Kristen Wiig's character. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just spectacular.
And him on 30 Rock. Like, he's hilarious on 30 Rock.
Yes.
I think if this was Christopher Maloney versus John Hamm, it would be a closer race for me, because I think I think they are like similar as far as like they kind of like they're in on the joke as far as like how attractive people find them and they lean into it. Like,
yeah
I would almost, if we were just talking about actors and kind of like their perceived personalities they have, I'd almost be Team Juan Jamon. But which, if you have not seen that on the Comedy Bang Bang, Juan Jamon, very good.
I will look that up after this, but you're going to stick with Mr.
Stabler. Sticking with Stabler.
Detective Stabler, excuse me.
Hashtag sticking with
apparently
Stabler.
Dr. Stabler, as of tonight.
In my notes, he's doctor. I have no idea how that happened.
He went to the Hollywood Upstairs Medical School.
Where Dr. Nick went?
Exactly. Hey, everybody. Yes.
He's undercover. Actually,
yes, thank you. He's an undercover doctor. All right, so we are on advance. Detective Elliot Stabler. The majority of the panel wanted to page Dr. Derek McDreamy Shepherd from Grey's Anatomy, played by Patrick Dempsey, but Curtis wanted to get handsy with handyman Mike Delfino from Desperate Housewives, played by James Denton. Heather, why does McDreamy also give you the McSteamies? Curtis, make a desperate attempt to convince us to support Mike. I'm going to have Curtis go first here because you're the lone vote.
Of course. Everything I do is a little bit desperate, Eric. I feel like Mike Delfino was part of my secret sexual awakening. Nearly all of the other guys on this list are in their 30s, or they were in their 30s when they were in the dad role. And the ones who fall out of that or into the older category don't share quite the same, as RuPaul put it a couple weeks ago, that Mike Delfino does. I loved that he was kind of like blue collar plumber, which added a little bit of relatability and attainability to the actor and to this role. And that show started when I was a senior in high school. It was 2004, right as I was coming to terms with my own sexuality. And there was something in his character that was almost like just a little bit dirty that was such a huge turn on to me. And really, I was always more of a McSteamy girl. So I'm going to go with Mike Delfino.
Okay. Heather, talk to us about McDreamy.
I'm so glad you just said you were more of a McSteamy girl. I have always been team McDreamy, but I actually, Eric, when you just said, you know, tell me why, I can't remember exactly how you said it, like paging Dr. McSteamy, McDreamy, whatever. And I was like, no, those are two different people. They're two very different people.
Very different people. Absolutely.
So, I mean, again, Patrick Dempsey is another one of these, like, I think I've loved him since Can't Buy Me Love, you know, and like him on that lawnmower at the, like all of it, right? It all does something for me. But I have probably watched the entire series of Grey's Anatomy all the way through on Netflix, I don't know, five times in the past 5 years.
There are like 20 seasons.
Yeah, I'm aware. I've seen all of them. I know a whole bunch about random diseases thanks to this show. I mean, it is, it's really something. But Patrick Dempsey and this character of Derek Shepherd is like, he's compassionate. He's caring. He's also, I mean, I've never met a neurosurgeon who's actually like a nice person, and he seems to be a really nice person. But more than that, he's also like, he is a good dad to his three kids, albeit we don't see them interact that often. But there are a couple moments where like you get to watch him with Zola, you get to watch him, you know, with Ellis. It really is. He's a good person. He's a good dad. But I think the thing that really sells me on him, apart from his looks and again, the hair, is watching him with other children in his care as a doctor. And like the fact that he goes above and beyond and seems to really have a bedside manner that kids respond to. I mean, I'm fortunate I work in healthcare. I think it is rare to find a surgeon who's not a pediatric specific doctor who has that type of rapport. And his character, like, they do so much with showing that he is a person who really connects with children in a not creepy way. And I, you know, for me, that just makes him an even better dad and even better person. So that's why I am team McDreamy.
Such a good argument, Heather. Thank you. Kara, where are you on this one?
I mean, we're not split down the middle, right?
No,
we're it's three to one. Okay, because I haven't watched either of these shows, and I feel very uninvested in either of these two characters. So I was going to give you my Venmo, and then whoever sent me $20 first is going to get my vote. But I do, like, just looking at the two of them, the Desperate Housewives guy doesn't really do it for me. Patrick Dempsey was really cute in Enchanted.
Yes.
That's all I've got. So
unfair.
Yeah.
Speaking of another moment when he was a good dad, though.
True.
Yeah, but I wanted to. You said there's no good no good neurosurgeons like on TV, and I thought I had one, but I realized he was a vascular surgeon. But in the Dr. Death show they ended up doing on Peacock, they do Dr. Randall Kirby, who is like, these are all based on real people, so the actual doctor is kind of a trip. And then he's I can't think. He's who is he played by? Oh, Christian Slater. Christian Slater plays him. So not a neurosurgeon, vascular surgeon, but a really fun watch. And I think he's a dad in real life. I have no idea, but just plugging that in for no reason.
I'm also going to go with McDreamy here. It's interesting. So, Curtis, when you were putting this together, I was like, actually, Desperate Housewives is a great point. And listen, Mike Delfino was a huge like pop culture moment when it happened, right? But it's amazing to me that show's been off the air for like not even a decade, and I feel like it is gone from cultural memory. Like, I couldn't remember that actor's name. I couldn't remember that character's name. I can barely remember anything about that show. It has not been off the air for, I think, more than 10 years. I could be wrong, but, like, it's crazy, like the cultural amnesia already about that show. And it was huge. Does mm-hmm. that go into whether or not he's a hotter dad? I don't know. But like, I find them both kind of equally attractive. And I give the edge to McDreamy here because McDreamy still has cultural cachet, even though he's been dead on Grace for how many years now? Heather, yeah, at least four. Four,
I think.
And he, I know he's been back recently in like kind of fantasy sequences.
Yeah, but like, definitely.
And the show is still going, right?
It's still going.
I think that's part of it.
And Patrick Dempsey as an actor has been around since the 80s, and he went from Dweebo to like hot shit. And that's kind of an amazing trajectory. So
what are his, like, what's his Dweebo role? I'm not as familiar. Like, yeah.
Can't Buy Me Love.
Can't
it's
Buy
an
Me Love.
80s okay. movie where he's a pizza delivery boy who also kind of becomes a gigolo, essentially. Kirstie Alley's in it.
Well, I'm looking this up now.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a great watch.
And like that was his one big role, and then he kind of went away. Like, he wasn't doing a lot for the 90s, and then he comes back in Grey's Anatomy, and it's like, welcome to Studville, population Patrick Dempsey. So
oh my god, he's adorable in this movie.
Yeah, right. Yeah. He started out as a twink, and now he's a twonk. Finally, finally in round one, in a battle of teen soap papas, the majority of the panel wanted to advance Sandy Cohen from The OC, played by Peter Gallagher. But I don't want to wait all my life just to be over before supporting Mitch Leary from Dawson's Creek, played by John Wesley Shipp. Kara, aka the president of the Sandy Cohen fan club, take it away. I will ugly cry in an attempt to spare Mitch's life. I'm gonna have Kara go first.
I have a signed photo of Peter Gallagher. And it's in a frame.
Yes.
Because when OC was on, I was in college. One day I was at, like, in a lab and I ran out of stuff to do. So I wrote like a fan email to whatever his like agent or whatever. I was like, I really like you on the show. And he sent me a signed photo.
My God, I love this.
Sorry. No. I just feel like I had to put that out there before I go to Sandy. So I'm earlier when talking about Superman, I had like really relied hard on the fact that he's like hot, hot, hot. And Curtis was making some really good arguments for like Michael Bluth as far as that, like the personality and the goodness of being a dad. And this is the fight where I bring that argument to the table, because Sandy Cohen is the best TV dad. And all of the TV dads that you like now on like Modern Family and This Is Us, they, you know, Sandy Cohen walked so they could run. Because I think in that role, there's this transition from a lot of kind of either dads on TV were in the sitcoms or really jokey and goofy and, you know, so removed from reality, or they were real assholes. And Sandy Cohen is an amazing dad. And when I watched the show and I was, you know, I mean, not a teenager, I'm starting early 20s, I wanted him to be my dad. But now as an adult, I was like, I want to be married to him and have his babies. I want him to be the father to my children, because he's just so well, like, he lives in the Orange County, but he's this kind of fish out of water scenario, because he's just a kid from Brooklyn, and he's a public defender, and his wife's family has, you know, these real estate moguls. He could easily have gone into, like, you know, doing that kind of law for her family and just lived really comfortably. I mean, he's living comfortably. They live in a giant house. But he could have, like, gone easy street. But he's a public defender. And every now and again, he brings home a really hot guy into the neighborhood. He takes him in like a stray. But in earnest, he really is. He's trying to – he recognizes his privilege of where he lives. And he's trying to raise his own son and then, you know, adopt his son Ryan to – recognize that in themselves and also still be good people and not be shitheads like a lot of the other kids in their school. And he has eyebrows that should be illegal. Like, they just they are dominant eyebrows, and his dark hair. And I don't know if you guys have your emails open. I sent a picture of a younger Peter Gallagher, because like, that's the one thing that kind of it's just the ravages of time. He's an older man playing this role. The shirtless pictures of that, and now not doing a whole lot, but a young, if we imagine Sandy, like, we see what Kirsten Cohen saw in him as this beautiful, you know, this beautiful Brooklyn boy who wanted to be a public defender. But he's a great dad, and that is just, you know, it's as a cisgendered bisexual woman in a marriage with a man,
when you, and I, not that it's exclusive to folks like me, but when you see a guy being a really good dad, like that is just so hot. And that's what takes Sandy Cohen, like just off the charts for me as a hot and wonderful dad.
I think that's an amazing argument, and I love the fact that you have a signed photo of him, and I hope that you will send a photo of it to us to put up on the social media for this.
It used to be, because it was like as a goof, I hung it on my wall of my apartment in college. I don't know where it is right now, but if I find it, I will definitely send it.
See, here I thought for sure it was sitting on your desk.
I was just looking at it as I was waxing poetic.
Exactly, I really did. So I have no illusions that I'm going to win this, and I don't think I will, because this one is a really personal one for me, and I don't think most people even would have thought of it, but like kind of the way that Mike Delfino was part of Curtis's kind of sexual awakening, Mitch Leary was that for me. Like, I actually had a crush on him when he was on The Flash, because originally there was a very short-lived CBS version of The Flash, I'm going to say early 90s, probably inspired by the Batman movie with Michael Keaton, and he was The Flash in it, and I was probably like 10 or something, but seeing that guy in that skin tight red suit with the muscles made me feel some type of way. And then he comes out as full-on daddy on Dawson's Creek in the late 90s, and at that point I was like, oh no, I'm definitely feeling some kind of way. And what the most, like, he's a really good dad to Dawson. Like, he's a great father. Part of the whole arc of the show is he dies tragically. I think it involves ice cream. Like, he bends down in the car to get ice cream. And, like, it's a whole thing. But he's great in it. And I don't know if he came out publicly afterwards, if he was already out, but the actor John Wesley Shipp is also openly gay. So those types of things really resonated with me. He also has that really strong jawline. He's kind of got that like unfrozen caveman thing that really does it for me.
And you love that.
I do. That is my
He's got type. A little bit and of like so, off-brand Elliot Stabler look, like off-brand Chris Maloney. Mm-hmm. Like, you know how anytime a Disney movie came, I know, but I'm just saying as far as like their looks, because he was on my list that I sent you too. Like, I'm not anti-Mitch Leary, but you know, like when there was like Aladdin came out, and then they'd like, before it came out on VHS, some other company would have like Genie's Lamp. Yeah. Or like, it was almost like, that's what he like, you know, in a good way, like, you know, but he's hitting a lot of the same notes for me, but not quite as good as the real thing.
And I will agree with that. And that's why I'm glad I was able to talk about him. He's aged very well, because he's actually now on the current Flash show playing the current Flash's father, and also like multiversal versions of him. He's aged quite well. He still looks good. He could get it. But I don't expect him to advance here. Sandy Cohen's a fan favorite. Curtis?
I'm not a fan of either of these shows. I actually did not watch Dawson's Creek growing up, and I think the OC was maybe just like slightly after my time. Actually, it might have been right around my time, but it was on the CW, and I refused to watch anything on the
Fox,
CW.
It was on Fox.
Oh, was it? Yeah. So that's where it started. I have not watched either of these shows. I have no connection to either of these people. The one thing that I will say is and I'm so sorry, Kara, in looking at the pictures that I found of this person who I do not know.
Not ready for it. Go for it.
They dyed his hair. They did. A man of that age would not have that, like, starkly dark hair.
Let me just enjoy the fantasy.
It took me out of the fantasy, and I think that's why I was so like ripped out of it. So I'm going to vote for Sandy Cohen because my husband doesn't like the other person.
Oh,
I'll take that vote.
Heather.
So admittedly, when we started doing these brackets, I actually went back and rewatched Dawson's Creek.
Oh, and that's commitment.
I am in fact going to change my vote to Team Mitch Leary, because I was reminded of what a good dad he is, and also how very attractive. And again, Eric, I think you and I have a little bit of a similar type with that jawline, and that does all sorts of things for me.
Yeah.
And I'm going with Mitch Leary.
So Curtis is the tiebreaker. Curtis is the tiebreaker. He's on my side.
I am so angry that I am the tiebreaker in a matchup that I give less than two shits, not even one shit about. I do not care about this one at all. And because Kara has a signed photo of one of these people, I will continue to say that Peter Gallagher will move forward because
that was a win for the people, which as a public defender, I don't understand law, but maybe he'd be good for that. I don't know.
Sure. He'd love it. All right. So we will advance Sandy Cohen to the Elite Eight. And with that is it for round one. We're going to take a break and look at our lives, look at our choices, and we will be right back.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome back to round two of our hottest TV dads debate. During the break, we wrote letters to daddy, but we can't share them because they're filthy. Before we get to round two, let's discuss how listeners can reach out to us on social media and ask if we're okay. Curtis, how can people reach you?
Currently, anyway, you can reach me at Curtitch, C-U-R-T-I-T-C-H. I'm going to change that real soon, though. So catch me while you can, I guess.
Cash him outside. Heather, how about you?
I'm at HeatherMack612 on Instagram, and I am too damn old to do Twitter.
I respect that. Kara.
I apparently make the cutoff for Twitter. I am at CMYKara, K-A-R-A, at Twitter.
And as for me, you should definitely follow at Great Pop Culture Debate on Instagram and at @culture_debate on Twitter. But feel free to follow at Eric Resniak on Instagram or Twitter. I don't use either that much individually. I'm usually on our actual podcast account. So with that being said, we're going to move on to round two of the debates. First up, it's Uncle Jesse Katsopoulos from Full House versus Clark Kent / Kal-El from Superman and Lois. We're going to go around the horn. I'm going to start with Curtis.
One gajillion percent Team Jesse.
All right. Heather.
Hear, hear.
Kara.
This is very hard. I think, you know what? I mean, I said my piece about Clark Kent, but if we're going to go in for like, I'm going to use longevity, and I've known and loved Uncle Jesse longer than this particular version of Clark Kent. So I'm going to go Uncle Jesse.
Yeah, I am too. I think Clark Kent is a bangin' bod. I think someone mentioned his little bubble butt. That is not a bubble butt. That is a full-on ass shelf. It is delicious.
It was a very small picture you sent.
Like, I know. But
that whole enhanced thing doesn't exist like it does on CSI.
But he wears that spandex beautifully.
And, God.
Everything about it is great, but we're talking like someone who has been an iconic TV dad, and also not just iconic TV dad, a seriously hot TV dad. And John Stamos is still smoking hot. So,
you know, I just feel lucky to have to make this decision between the two of them. Exactly, how wonderful of a world is it?
Exactly, right? Exactly. So we will be advancing Uncle Jesse to the final four. Next up, it's Dr. Sam Bennett from Private Practice versus Coach Eric Taylor from Friday Night Lights, who barely squeaked through round one. I'm going to start the opposite way this time. Kara, who are you voting for?
Sam Bennett's Taye Diggs, right?
Correct.
Yes.
I don't watch the show, but Taye Diggs. I'm voting for Taye Diggs.
Heather.
This one's tough for me. You know, I'm going to go Eric Taylor, but to be honest with you, I would not be at all upset if Sam Bennett won.
Fair. Curtis.
Squint face! Taye Diggs, please.
I think I had Eric Taylor going forward on my bracket originally, but I think I'm going to give it to Taye Diggs here.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of, yep. Agree with you.
Yeah. The one thing that I'm hesitating on is being a father is a critical component to Eric Taylor's role in character. And I don't know that that's true. I didn't watch all of Private Practice. I think I dipped out after like season two. I don't know how much being a father was that central to Dr. Bennett's role. Can you speak to that at all, Heather?
I would argue it actually almost got more central to his role as his daughter grew up, because there were a couple moments where, like, she made terrible life choices and he supported her and didn't judge her. And yeah, I think you could make the argument.
Okay. All right. So that being said, we are going to advance Dr. Sam Bennett into the final four. Next up, it is Randall Pearson from This Is Us versus Elliot Stabler from Law & Order SVU. I'm going to start in the middle of the pack. Heather, where are you going first?
Oh, Elliot Stabler. All day, every day. Speaking of bubble butts.
Mm-hmm. Curtis.
Yeah, I'm a Stabler. Has anyone seen my Stabler?
A swing line Stabler. Kara.
Get those cuffs out, detective.
Yes, please. So that's a clean sweep for Detective Stabler, Chris Maloney in the final four. And finally, we have Dr. McDreamy, Patrick Dempsey from Grey's Anatomy versus Sandy Cohen from OC. Yeah. Okay, let's see how this works. We're going to start with Kara. Why don't you go first, actually?
I'm sticking with Sandy Cohen. I know I'm not going to win, I'm going to rep him all the way down.
I appreciate your devotion, seriously. Curtis.
So Peter Gallagher is a very handsome man, and I was saying during the break that when I look at pictures of Peter Gallagher, he was a beautiful young man, and that makes me sound super gross. Yeah. Ew, can we edit that out? No.
No.
Okay. Keep it in.
Can you make the audiogram that moment, like when you posted it?
And also, he is a stunner on Grace and Frankie, which is where I've seen him most recently. Like, when he lived into his true hair color and didn't do a terrible dye job, yeah, like what I'm seeing mm-hmm. on OC, he was beautiful. So I think I'm going to have to go with Patrick Dempsey here, because Patrick Dempsey is truly a dreamy man. And sure, why not?
Heather.
Oh, also McDreamy.
I'm also going to give it to McDreamy. I'm sorry. But you did a good job arguing for him, Kara. You really did.
I just blew a kiss in the general direction of where his photo is in my house somewhere.
I'm sure he appreciates it.
Probably in a tote in the basement. I don't know. I love you, Sandy Cohen.
Next to the Krampus costume from years ago. The final four is Dr. Jesse. What is with the doctors?
Everybody's a doctor.
You get a doctorate. Eric is apparently the Dean of DeVry, just handing out degrees left and right.
Excuse me, it's Phoenix. Thank you very much.
Is that still online? I mean, asking for a friend. I don't know.
We'll have to ask Dr. Jesse Katsopoulos. No, so it is Uncle Jesse from Full House versus Dr. Sam Bennett from Private Practice, and Detective Elliot Stabler from Law & Order SVU versus McDreamy from Grey's Anatomy. We're going to start with Uncle Jesse versus Dr. Bennett. I'm going to start with Heather.
Oh, Uncle Jesse. Uncle Jesse, the original TV dad. I can't.
Curtis.
I think this is where, like, we're in the final four, ladies. Like, this is where dad matters. Mm-hmm. And I didn't, to be fair, I did not watch Private Practice. And Heather, you taught me so much about that show. Thank you so much for that. I just can't not vote for Jesse. He is so, so beautiful. I mean, John Stamos, such a beautiful man, but Jesse ticks every box for me, so I'm going to push him to the final two at the very least.
Kara?
Have mercy, Uncle Jesse, the whole way. I mean, yeah, up until the next bracket, but yeah, for this one.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens in the next one. Speaking of which, let's go to it. It's Detective Elliot Stabler versus Dr. McDreamy. I'm going to start with Kara.
I never thought I'd have to pick between a doctor and a cop, and I'm picking the cop. What's happening?
Curtis?
This is no contest for me, because I like one of these shows and I don't really care about the other one. So yeah, it's absolutely Chris Maloney all the way.
And Heather, I feel like this might be a harder one for you.
No, Chris Maloney is a whole different level for me. And he takes, yep, he wins every time.
Yeah, wow. McDreamy is a snack and Stabler is a whole damn meal. So
yes.
It's Stabler. So it's a final two of Uncle Jesse from Full House, John Stamos, versus Detective Elliot Stabler from Law and Order SVU, played by Christopher Maloney. I think this is a great final two. They're two very different dads, but they're both scorchingly hot. So I'm going to go around the horn. I'm going to start with Curtis. Who wins?
Excuse me. Sorry. Okay. Chris Maloney, and I cannot remember who it was that was talking about Chris Maloney earlier and like what he brings to his roles. And as they were talking, the only word that kept popping up in my head is gravitas. Mm. He brings such presence to especially this role as Elliot Stabler. When he enters a room, you look at him. I don't care what else is going on or where that camera is even focused. You look at Chris Maloney when he enters that room. He is a magnetic man. He is so very attractive. He also has a little bit of that grit and that dirt that I was talking about earlier with the Desperate Housewives character. I've had dreams, I feel like, about both of these men. My final vote is going to go for Uncle Jesse, because Uncle Jesse was everyone's crush. If you were a girl or a gay boy, you thought he was the sexiest fucking thing alive. And you hated Rebecca for taking him from you. And if you were a straight boy or an NB, you wanted to be Jesse. Or at the very least, you wanted to be his child. He was such a cool dad. He had a band, he rode a motorcycle, and he also had that soft side. So you knew that he wasn't going to, like, I don't know, send you to your room without telling you why. He was a kinder James Dean. And what puts him over Chris Maloney here is that Jesse was not only smoking hot, he was also a great dad and honestly an even greater uncle, which I think means a little bit more because those weren't his children. He took care of those girls as though they were his own. And to me, that carries a lot of weight.
Excellent argument. Heather, where are you?
Can you come back to me?
I can try. Kara, what are you thinking?
I'm really torn.
Curtis really swayed me. I thought I was going to be Elliot Stabler the whole way through, but no, I'm Uncle Jesse. And Curtis got up on that soapbox and we're all crying. And I know.
I live on the soapbox.
That is his Suzanne Sugar Baker moment. I want you to know that is the night the lights went out for Christopher Maloney. Mm-hmm. But I would say this about, so let's, if we're talking about just physical hotness, you can say they're both equal, even though they're completely different, right? They're totally different types
totally
of guys.
Different. Yeah.
But Christopher Maloney has kind of had a very similar look pretty much his whole career. Like, it's not like he's changed it up. John Stamos, when Full House started, had a ponytail, was kind mm-hmm. of doing this rockabilly thing. And there was something about it that, like, he thought it was cool, but it was actually kind of dorky. And now it looks really dorky. But then he kind of cleaned himself up by even the end of Full House. Like, he'd cut the hair, and he was full on, like, GQ stud. And I think that has to account for something, because he grew up and became a man as he was also becoming an actual father to his own kids with Rebecca and being a surrogate father for the three Tanner kids. And I think there's an arc to him that I don't think Stabler has, and people who are fans of Law and Order SVU were like, what are you talking about? Stabler has an incredible dramatic arc because he's on that show for like 300 years. But like, as a father and as a man, I think that on this little sitcom that was just meant to be a diversion.
Divertissement,
thank you. I do think that there's more kind of growth and heart, because it is the core part of Jesse's character, and being a father is not necessarily the core part of Stabler's character. That is part of who he is, but ultimately it's him being a detective first. Kara, you said you're sticking with Jesse?
I am, and when you started talking about, like, his growth as a character and including his appearance, I was like, did he have a ponytail? So I looked it up, and I don't see ponytail, but I see a spectacular mullet. Like that the fact that we all thought he was attractive despite the mullet. Because I think he's frozen in my brain like later in the seasons of Full House. Wow, this is an aggressive mullet.
Yeah, that may be what I'm thinking of is the mullet.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
He had for a very long time what I call speed skater hair.
Yes.
Your hair looks like a speed skater helmet. And I actually really did not like that. But that should actually just put another drop in my bucket of this was a hot man because I was able to look past.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Heather, do you have an answer now?
Yeah. I'm also going to change and go to Jesse. And again, just for, you know, the sake of full disclosure, I am a diehard SVU fan. I've seen every episode. Like I started watching at the beginning. I think part of Eric, you're exactly right that being a dad is only part of Stabler's character. But I think, too, this is where it's challenging because we're comparing apples to oranges as far as shows, right? Full House is a family sitcom. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Whereas Law & Order SVU is a crime drama.
And you know, horrible crimes, like terrible crimes.
Right. But, you know, to say that, like, being a dad is only part of Stabler's character, yes, is accurate, but it's also the nature of the show that makes it that way.
Yep.
Like, absolutely. I think the fact that being a dad is such a part of his character is a testament to what a good dad he is. But because of all the reasons you all have said, I have to go Uncle Jesse.
I'm pretty sure that none of the kids in Full House saw a dead body on Uncle Jesse's watch.
We don't know his
name. And it happened. Maybe. It happened at least once with Elliot Stabler and his daughter.
That's true. Yes. It's true.
What was Dave Coulier's character's name?
Uncle Joey.
Joey, maybe on Uncle Joey's watch.
Oh,
maybe.
Most definitely. Several times.
And Kimmy Gibbler was the one who done it.
Oh, my God.
But there you have it, folks. Our pick for the hottest TV dad is Uncle Jesse from Full House. Have mercy. Do you agree with our choice? Do you think we need to go to our rooms and think about what we've done? Let us know your pick by leaving us a comment on this episode at greatpopculturedebate.com or yell at us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, or YouTube. While you're there, make sure you like and subscribe for more great pop culture debate content. And if you really like what you heard, please consider supporting us on Patreon, which can get you access to even more exclusive episodes, merch, and the ability to suggest episodes for us to cover in the future. Thank you to my panelists. It has been a pleasure objectifying age inappropriate crushes with you. And thank you for listening. Until next time, remember, everyone is entitled to their wrong opinions.
Justice for Sandy Cohen.
10
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business?
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.